Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly, the films A House of Dynamite, The Long Walk, and The Perfect Neighbor.
It is the Halloween season for sure, and so I thought I would talk about horror movies this week. And interestingly, I've ended up with three movies, which are all very current, and each of which is horrific, but in very different ways. One of them is even a documentary. The first one is basically geopolitical in nature. So let's start with that one, A House of Dynamite. This is the latest movie from Kathryn Bigelow. And she, in recent years, has been making very, very timely films, not even such recent years, going back a ways now, movies like The Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty, movies that really zero in on important things that are happening in the world. And The House of Dynamite very much does that. There's been a little bit of controversy about the film, maybe more than a little bit, because people are questioning how accurate it is. But it certainly roped me in and struck me as being pretty convincing. Anyway, A House of Dynamite, the new movie by Kathryn Bigelow, deals with what may be and probably is some sort of nuclear attack on the United States. But here's what happens. And apparently all of this is at least plausible, if not likely, to happen in the real world. What happens is that the American technological establishment, the White House Situation Room and all of that, detects a missile coming right toward the United States. It takes a little time to track down where the missile is headed, where it's going to land. It turns out it's going to be hitting Chicago. It is on a course hit Chicago, and there's question is, can this be prevented in some way? Okay, so that's what's happening here. I find it a little bit of a stretch to believe that a missile could be heading right for the United States, and it would take a while to figure out where it was going to land. But anyway, they figure it out fairly quickly. So, okay, Chicago's going to get hit by this nuclear missile. But this is something else I found a little bit of a stretch, but apparently it is plausible. The idea that America would not be able to tell who had launched this missile, where it's coming from. Apparently things are just a little bit mysterious, and some detection system was not working exactly the way it should, and the exact place where the missile was launched from was not detected. But anyway, okay, now it's on its way. And so the question is this missile actually going to hit Chicago, or are America's detection and prevention systems going to leap into play, and are they going to be able to shoot this missile down before it gets to Chicago? So that's where the suspense of the movie comes in. Now, what's interesting about this movie, structurally speaking, is that it basically tells the story three times. We have it all from one point of view, with various characters interacting and doing various different things related very directly to this situation. Then we have the whole story told a second time from the point of view of other characters, and sometimes there's repeated action where the same things, we hear the same people say the same things, but in a different context and from a different point of view. And then the story is told for a third time. I'm not going to tell you how the story comes out, but that's the way the movie works, is that we see this whole thing happening three times from three different perspectives, which allow us to have different understandings of the way things are unfolding, what is behind all this, what the outcome of all this might be. In a way, A House of Dynamite is a sort of Dr. Strangelove on steroids. It reminded me very, very strongly of two movies from the 1960s. One, Stanley Kubrick's legendary classic, Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, which is all about the idea of nuclear technology getting out of control and horrible danger happening. And then a less known movie, but an excellent movie in its own right, a movie by Sidney Lumet called Failsafe, which basically tells the same story as Dr. Strangelove, but in a deadly serious way, whereas Dr. Strangelove is a pitch dark comedy. House of Dynamite reminded me of both of those movies. But it's different. It's its own animal. And it actually tells its story very effectively. The suspense is very, very acute. The cast is really, really good. We have people like Idris Elba and Rebecca Ferguson and Tracy Letts, who is very good in the film. Good people. So, yes, we have real acting, real performances, but this is not a psychological drama of some sort. It is very much a suspense movie and very much a movie about modern-day technology. I found it reasonably plausible. As I said, some things make me think, well, gee, could that really happen? But apparently the authorities who have been weighing in on this, some of them say, well, this wouldn't really happen, and that wouldn't exactly happen in the way it's shown in the movie. But by and large, the consensus appears to be that, yes, this movie is pretty darn accurate and really does alert us to what might be going on in the world of our own nuclear technology and the horrible dangers we face if things get out of control. My gosh, I remember the Cuban Missile Crisis way back in the 1960s. I was just starting college at the time. And ever since then, I've thought anything could happen. Nuclear weapons are proliferating. In the news in the last day or two, it looks like they may be proliferating even more in the near future. And the danger has not gone away, and The House of Dynamite directs our attention to that danger, and I think it's an important movie, a very, very interesting movie, and certainly a suspenseful movie. So it is pretty highly recommended by me. Now, for our next horror movie of this Halloween weekend, The Long Walk. This is a new movie by Francis Lawrence, based on a book by Stephen King, and it is indeed about a long walk. In fact, the whole darn movie is just one really, really, really long walk. It's a dystopian movie. It's a movie that takes place in the future. There has been a war of some sort which has decimated a lot of America. It's not one of these movies where everybody's in smoldering ruins all the time. But yes, there has been a war, and the war is over, and the country appears to be, there's buildings still standing and all of that. But there is now a new regime, apparently a very militaristic regime, ruling America. Maybe there's been a military coup of some sort. And we find out that there is a competition that goes on. And this competition is called the Long Walk. And here it is. Young men apply to engage in this contest. And the lucky winners get to go and get into the Long Walk. A starting gun is fired, and this group is approximately 50 young men, start walking and walking and walking. And the way the contest works is as follows. They walk and they walk and they walk, and they've got to maintain a certain speed of at least 3 miles per hour. They can't fall below that. They can't walk off the road. They're walking through a rural part of the country, so nothing much on either side. They go through a town every once in a while, but there doesn't appear to be much of anybody around. And they can't go off the road, and they can't fall below that speed. And there's a few other rules. And if you break the rules, you either get shot in the head immediately by the soldiers who are guarding all this and moving along with the walkers on their trucks, or else you get a warning. And if you get 3 warnings, then again, you get shot in the head. So that's it. And when does the contest end? Who wins? They walk and they walk and they walk. Some of them getting shot along the way because they fall down or because they can't continue or because they break one of the rules. And so little by little by little, the ranks of these originally approximately 50 go down and down and down. And the winner will be the last person who is still alive. That's the winner. So it is a deadly contest. It is a horrible contest. Why would young men compete like crazy to get into this contest? Because the winner gets a wish granted and then gets some fabulous amount of wealth. It's not specified just how much, but apparently the reward is so great that, yes, many young men try to get into this competition, and then once they're in it, they try very hard to win it. And so that is what this movie is about. And we see all these young men walking and walking and walking, and they talk, and they have disagreements, and they make friends, and they make enemies, and all that kind of thing happens while they walk and walk and walk. There's no rest periods, and that's what the movie is. So this movie really reminded me of the Hunger Games movies, which, again, is about a future world and a competition which has all kinds of risks and rewards, and which can be deadly. And the Long Walk is just like that. And sure enough, The Long Walk was directed by Francis Lawrence, very well known for directing Hunger Games movies. So yes, the resemblance between The Long Walk and The Hunger Games is by no means coincidental. Did I enjoy The Long Walk? I don't think it's a very enjoyable movie. It's kind of ugly. We get to know these young men, but all we're doing is watching them walk and walk and walk and talk and talk and talk. It's not visually very interesting, although Francis Lawrence does a reasonably good job of keeping it alive, and it's somewhat enjoyable to watch on the screen, but it's not a pleasant movie. And these young men, they're young men. They're always grossing each other out and getting into stupid arguments and fights and things like that. And then every once in a while, one of them gets shot in the head by one of the soldiers, and that's sort of ugly, too. So I can't say The Long Walk is a very enjoyable movie. It's certainly not a pretty or beautiful movie or even all that dramatic a movie once you get to realize what's going to happen. The suspense is mainly, okay, who's going to survive? Who's the winner going to be? If we even get as far in the movie as seeing a winner, which, by the way, we do at the very, very end. And anyway, I found The Long Walk a slog. I'm sure many people will enjoy it. It certainly is suspenseful. It has some mildly interesting characters. But again, for me, it was a slog rather than an enjoyable walk in the park. And I did not have all that good a time watching the film. Our third horror movie is a documentary. And it is the kind of horror that unfortunately happens in very real life, probably more often than it should. This is a movie, The Perfect Neighbor, directed by Gita Gambhir, which is told almost entirely, pretty close to 100%, through police body cam footage, dash cam footage, all that kind of thing. In other words, this is a documentary made up completely of existing video footage. So what happens in this movie is we have a neighborhood in Florida, a very modest neighborhood, and there is a woman who frequently gets into spats, arguments, disputes with her neighbors. She yells at the kids to get away. She sometimes acts in a threatening way, or what appears to be a threatening way, to the kids. The parents get upset. They fight. They yell at each other. They holler at each other. They go to the police about each other. And there's a big racial element in this, too, because the woman who is often in the middle of all this is a white woman, and most of the neighbors are black. So that also enters into the whole thing. And what happens is that at some point, and we learn this very early in the film, one of the neighbors was killed, shot by another of the neighbors. This one neighbor was banging on the other neighbor's door. I'm not going to give away just who they were. Banging, banging, banging. The neighbor inside got very, very afraid, apparently, picked up a gun that she had and shot through the door. So a person is dead. And the neighborhood is now more upset and more riled up and more full of fury and sadness than ever. And we get to see a little bit of the aftermath of all this as well. But mainly what we see are the events leading up to this killing. And we get some thinking about what caused this killing. But this is not a movie with philosophy in it. Again, it's all body cam footage. What we have is the neighbors and the police and people talking to each other and arguing with each other, and the police going back and forth and repeatedly visiting the home of the woman who was right at the center of all this, and then trying to calm things down. And the police, strike me, is pretty good in this movie. They manage to keep a calm demeanor. They manage to try to calm things down among the neighbors. They manage to keep talking. They always act very reasonably, at least almost always. And when they need to, they act with great dispatch. They get in their cars and they race to where they need to be. So I think the police come off pretty well in this movie. The neighbors don't come off so well. And we have all the kinds of disputes that sometimes happen in small neighborhoods where people have kids and where kids make noise. There's a lot in the movie about that. A lot of, well, when I was a kid, I did the same sort of thing. Yes, but they did it on my lawn. I told them not to. And all that kind of thing goes on for quite a while. Now, I have to say, in terms of my response to The Perfect Neighbor, it's an amazingly put together movie. All of this body cam and dash cam footage has been integrated really well. It tells a very coherent story, even though it's all assembled from pre-existing materials, nothing shot for the movie itself. There's a little bit of news reportage in it, but mainly it's all this police footage. So that's very interesting. But, you know, watching The Perfect Neighbor made me feel very uncomfortable because everybody is, in today's society, in danger of being watched all the time. The police have so much footage of so many of these people doing so many different things. We truly live in a fishbowl, all of us. And the authorities, the police, others can gaze into the fishbowl and watch us pretty much anytime they want to. And what they see is recorded. It's recorded in moving images on video. And that aspect of The Perfect Neighbor made me uncomfortable because it made me realize more acutely than ever how much we all do live in this panopticon, in this fishbowl, where we are all capable of being observed and our actions recorded by authorities pretty much anytime they so choose. So I found The Perfect Neighbor to be an amazing story, beautifully told through all this found footage, but also it made me uncomfortable. And I think it's worth thinking about. There's a little bit in the movie about the stand your ground law that they have in Florida, where you can shoot at somebody if you think that your life or safety are being threatened. The movie is supposed to get into that a bit, but it does just barely. And I would have welcomed a lot more of that. Mainly, it's a very, very suspenseful and harrowing drama told entirely through police footage. I found it quite a watch, but a disturbing watch at that. So that is my somewhat scary Halloween story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films A House of Dynamite, The Long Walk, and The Perfect Neighbor.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.